Numbers chapter 11. The messages are all about Joshua. And if you start reading the book of Joshua, you're not prepared. And for that reason, I told you that you could get a complete study on Joshua without ever reading the book of Joshua. So let's look in chapter 11. I'll abbreviate it this time. Look at verse 14. It's good when a man finds out his limitations. So many of us fail to do that. David thought that he could fight giants in his old age. He found out he wasn't able to do it. And though a man is willing with his whole heart to serve God, this is what Moses says. Listen, verse 14. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. That's beautiful. Here is an old man, about 120 years old, 80 at this time. In a few minutes, we'll see what's going to happen to him for the next 40 years. But he says, I'm not able to bear this people alone. And now, look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tent of meeting. Please notice the instruction. Bring them to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now, look at verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tent. And the Lord came down in the cloud, and spake unto him, and took the spirit that was upon him, and put it upon the 70 elders. And it came to pass, that when the spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied. But, and this is what it says literally, they added no more. It's a different translation in the King James, but it results in this. They prophesied this time, but they did so no more. They added no more. Verse 26. But there remained two men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but had not gone out under the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Now, this translation is a little different. The King James is fine, but this is a little more exact. Look at verse 28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, art thou jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. We'll stop there. For now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the marvelous things contained in this book. Let us know that at times we need to be lifted to heaven as it lifts us there. And at times we need to be brought down to earth, and it brings us there. And at times, our God, we need to look into hell, and it opens the door and lets us look in there. We're thankful for every lesson. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So, as we've begun this morning to read and desire to understand this passage and other passages, by Thy Spirit, illumine us, Father, that we may have hungry hearts and interested hearts and obedient lives. Bless us to that end by Thy Spirit. Empower him who speaks, and we confess our sin. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, don't think you're getting off. Who was Joshua's grandfather? Now, isn't that pitiful? I told you, you couldn't know him without knowing his grandfather. And you've had a week to find it out and think about it. You don't know. His name was Elishama. And his name was... Yes, I took the words right out of your mouth. And his father was Amihud, and his father was Laadan. You have to know that, because if not, you'll never know what tribe Joshua is from until you read chapter 13. And then you'll say, well, he comes out of nowhere, because Nun, his father, is never found in prominence. And you never know who the father of Nun was until I turned you to 1 Chronicles, chapter 7. And then you find out that Joshua is one of the few men whose genealogy is traced back to Adam. It's traced back first to Ephraim, and then it becomes elementary, because Ephraim was the son of Joseph, and Joseph was the son of Jacob, and Jacob was the son of Isaac, and Isaac was the son of Abraham. And then you may read in Genesis 10, 11, and 12, and it gives you the genealogy back to Adam. And so, that's how much you can know about Joshua. But had you not learned these things that I've told you, you would not know anything about him. Now, tell me this. Give me the genealogy of Elijah. You can't do that because his isn't given. And so, you have an excuse if you say, I don't know about him. That you would have thought the same about Joshua, unless someone conceivably knows his seven names. You don't know his seven names. I told you that last week. All right, listen. He is known by Hoshea, Jehoshua, and Jesus. Now, I mentioned that because you have to know Jesus for this reason. The question is asked in Proverbs about God. What is his name? And what is his son's name? You realize that among the many things that are prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, you never get the actual name of Jesus given by which he was called. You have him called Wonderful God, Counselor. You have him called Emmanuel. But he was never called those things on earth. And if you ask Jesus, what is your name? Do you know what he would tell you? If you ask me, what is my name? I would tell you, I'm John Milton Mills. And Jesus was asked his name. Saul of Tarsus said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus said who he was, and he said where he came from. And I am John Milton Mills from Raleigh, North Carolina. And Jesus, our Lord, identified himself. But the question is asked in Proverbs chapter 30, what is God's name and what is his son's name? And nobody ever knew what his name was. But one man came along and God said, I'm going to give you my son's name. Your name is going to be changed from Hoshea to Joshua. And Joshua means Jesus. And it says, when our baby was born, thou shalt call his name Joshua. If we were talking in the Old Testament, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the word Joshua means the Lord saved. Hoshea, and Hoshea means Savior, Deliverer. But that could put prominence upon him. But his name was changed in Numbers 13 from Hoshea and Hoshea to Joshua, which means the Lord saved. So his names, let me try again. It was Joshua, Hoshea, Hoshea, Jehoshua, Jehoshua, Jeshua, and Jesus. Those are the seven names. And if you look them up, it's a study in itself why he's called by those different names at different times and places. So next week, if I conceivably ask the question, who is his grandfather? Perhaps somebody might know. And you have to know that his name was Jeshua, or you wouldn't know who was being spoken about when you read of him in 1 Chronicles chapter 7. That's the bad thing. And you say, well, his father was Nun. But his father also is called Known. And so you have to know these things. And then when you do, it begins to open up. And we learn about the character of Joshua. All right. I told you last week something about the character of Joshua from the portion in Exodus 17:24, you see, in 17 and in 24, and then after that you have more of Joshua when he goes up into the mountain with Moses, waits for him the 40 days, and then comes down from the mountain with him. So, he is a warrior, he is a worshiper, he is a patient man, all of these things, but I wanted to mention one other thing about Joshua. His name, yes, because just as Jonah is privileged by God to be a picture of our Savior in death and resurrection, so Joshua is a picture of our Lord as the Lord saves. The only one who has our Savior's name that we know about in the Old Testament of prominence, he is the one, and he is Jesus. And you say, he is Jesus. And for that reason, look and see what Jesus in the Old Testament does, and then think of what Jesus in the New Testament did. Remember, Jesus is the Greek, Joshua is the Hebrew, it's the same name. All right. Now, what I wanted to tell you about this portion of Joshua, how we have a period of learning. He does so many good things. He's a brave man. He's a courageous man. But young men behave in a certain way, and that way is not always good. As he's coming down from the top of the mountain with Moses, he went up as far as he could, and then Moses went, and God communed with him. And Joshua waited, and then when he came back, Joshua and Moses came down. I told you that last week. Moses said, we will go up into the mount, and we will come down. And he was including Joshua. Think of that. In chapter 17, out of nowhere, he is chosen to be a warrior. And then he's chosen to go up into the mountain with Moses, and he abides as near as he can when God is communing with Moses, and he waits, and then Moses comes and joins him, and they both come down. But when they come down, something is happening in the valley. The people whom Moses represented when he went up into the mountain to get the knowledge of God and the covenant of God and the law of God, they should have been waiting with anticipation and joy in the valley. But when he was gone for 40 days, this is what they said, As for that Moses that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. Now we've got to make us other gods and get on with our lives. Isn't that sad? And yet, Joshua was faithful. So when they come down, you must understand that Moses, in this case, when there's a noise in the camp, and Joshua wants to know what it is, Moses already knows what it is, because God has told him. But Joshua doesn't. And Joshua says, it's the sound of warfare in the camp. Moses says, it isn't warfare. It's the sound of singing and dancing and carousing, because these people have corrupted themselves. Now, the first thing is this. You have to be able to interpret sound. And some people are not able. There are some people who can get up and give bombastic sermons, and some can stand to their feet and give flowery prayers. And some Christians listening to them say, "Oh, that's beautiful. That's a prayer in the Spirit. That's a message from God. And it's nothing but a manifestation of the flesh." That's a sad thing. I remember 40 or 50 years ago, a man coming to Raleigh, to the chapel that I went to there. And he got up and he spoke, and immediately I knew that there was something about that man that was not right. And the Christians surrounded him, and they said, "Will you speak to us tonight?" And he did, and I said, "There's something wrong." And it turned out that he was there, and the woman he was with was not his wife, and he was a charlatan. And I detected it when the man spoke. And I will tell you this. I never heard Jim and Tammy Baker but once in my life. I was in someone's home, and they turned on the television. And I saw this woman all painted up like a clown. And I saw this man sitting there carrying on. And I said, "They are charlatans." And my hostess was insulted, of course. I said, "There's nothing to them." And need I tell you what happened later on? But some, look, any time they say, "Lord, Lord," the Lord Jesus listens and he says, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' to me is going to get into heaven." And so you have to know how to interpret sounds. In 1 Corinthians 12 and in 1 Corinthians 14, there are people standing up speaking in tongues. And Paul says, "That's not God. You're not that spirit." There is confusion going on. Do you see? Now, he said, "Let everything be done decently and in order." And so, yes, if a man at that time, and if you are able by the Spirit of God today, I will listen. Because perhaps God has given me the ability to tell you whether you are speaking in a tongue. But some are not able, but some have that gift. It says this, there is the spirit of discernment that God gives. And those that listen to others speak, some have the spirit of discernment. And they can say, "That man is a false prophet." Others can tell because of their familiarity with the Word of God. It said, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the ABCs of Christianity. It said, it speaks about, "Him that is full grown is able to partake of meat, who by reason of use has his senses exercised to discern good and evil." And so, I have no miraculous gift, but you tell me a scripture, and I will tell you in a minute whether you are right or where that scripture is. I remember a dear brother was speaking to me, a servant of the Lord, an old man, and he said, "This portion is in Exodus." I said, "No, it's in Deuteronomy." He said, oh, yes, it is, you see. And it wasn't any miraculous gift. I simply had read it and I knew where it was. And so here is a young man, and he hastily says this, "What is that noise that's going on in the camp?" And Joshua says, "It's the sound of battle." And Moses, having been taught of God, says, "It's not the sound of battle. It's singing and dancing." Now think of that. And so here are some, what is that sound I hear? It's the voice of God. Be able to interpret things correctly. Here is Mary, guided of the Spirit of God, and she's anointing the Lord Jesus. And Judas, influencing the others, they say, "Why this waste?" It was a direct act of God. And some interpret it and say, why this waste? So you see, Joshua is a well-meaning man, but he should be, and you should be, like Ezekiel. When God showed Ezekiel the valley of dry bones, God said, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" And he was smart, and he said, "Lord, you know. You know." And so, if he had said, "Moses, what is that noise in the camp?" Moses would have told him. But so many times, we give an interpretation, and it's wrong. So, try to check yourself in that respect. Now, I mentioned that the portion when he came down in Exodus from the mountain with Moses, and I'm mentioning this in Numbers chapter 11, because, again, he's made a mistake. Of all things, and God is so good, but of all things, there were 70 men designated when Moses is telling about his inability to guide the people of God alone. God says, "All right, Moses, I will help you. Now, choose 70 men, have them to meet with us around the tent, and I will work there." And so of all things, and we would not have known it unless we had this chapter, 68 of them came and gathered round the tent, but 2 of them remained in the camp. If God said, "I want you to have 70 men gathered round the tent of meeting," where should the 70 have been? Around the tent of meeting. 2 of them were in the camp. And Joshua was alert to notice that very thing. And when the Spirit of God was taken, the Spirit was upon Moses, was taken and placed upon these 68, it was discovered later that it was also placed upon those 2 that were not at the tent where they should be, but they were in the camp. And they manifested the same evidence that the 68 did. And Joshua cries out, "My Lord, forbid them." Now, something immediately should come to your mind, because the same thing happened in the New Testament when some who were in an incorrect position but had power were doing the same thing, and John came up and said, "Lord, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us." Now, notice, when Joshua told Moses, Joshua said, "Forbid them." And Moses said, "No, I'm not going to forbid them." And when John said, "We forbade them," the Lord Jesus said to John, "Forbid them not." You see the similarity? So often, you find the very things that are going to happen in the life of Christ happening in some saint's life in the Old Testament. So here is one who is jealous for his master, because I told you last week that Joshua had become the minister of Moses. A great condescension on his part, a great honor if you think of it in one way. But what if you were the man who gathered an army together and went forth and won victory for the nation of Israel? And then you come back, and your reward is, you can go now and be a servant to Moses. I thought I should stand next to Moses as the general of the armies of Israel. But God says, you go and be a minister to Moses. And he was faithful, and I want you to remember this. Joshua remained in the shadow of Moses for 40 years. That's a long time to wait. But he remained there, and he never stepped out of place except for the glory of Moses. He says, "Moses, forbid them." Do you see? And Moses said, "Are you jealous for my sake? Forbid them not. He said, I would that all the children of Israel had my spirit, and they were blessed and moved of God. And so, notice, here is a narrow spirit of Joshua. It was well-meaning, but it was a narrow spirit. And here is the broad, forgiving, inclusive spirit of Moses. And he says, would that all the people of God were blessed. Now, let's think of this for a moment. I gather to the name of the Lord Jesus, and I could preach in the Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian groups, but I gather to the name of the Lord. There is a reason. It is because I've never found any other way scripturally to gather and serve the Lord. But there are others who do not gather to the name of the Lord, and they have the same power that I have in preaching the Word of God. Notice, two things are certain. If you say, how do you know that the assemblies are right? I shan't give you the details now, but we're going to say that they are. But let me ask you this. If the Lord Jesus were on earth, do you think that men should follow him or act independently? Tell me that. You say, well, if it's Jesus, why, if they weren't following him, something was wrong. Praise God, you can see that much. And so in Mark chapter 9, here are some that are following not Jesus closely, intimately, like the apostles, and yet God in his goodness still gave them the power to exorcise demons. Listen, John said, we saw one casting out demons in thy name. Not, we saw one feebly attempting to do something that he was not able to do, but we are able to do. But what upset John was that this man was able to cast out demons, and that he was not following with Peter and Andrew and James and John and the followers of the Lord Jesus. And John took it upon himself to forbid him, and we told him, don't do that anymore until you come along and gather with us, then just cut out serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? And the Lord Jesus said, forbid him not. Now let me ask you this. If a man is serving the Lord, but our Savior is on earth, and a man could be with him in intimate fellowship, sitting at his feet, is he right in serving the Lord at a distance, or is there an imperfection there? You say there is an imperfection. Yes. But still, what God does at times is to allow those like Apollos with imperfections that are following later on to learn and be taught the way of God more perfectly. Something is wrong if a man his whole life long is serving the Savior, but he never searches the Scriptures and finds out how he's to worship. You see, an evangelist searches the Scriptures and he learns how to preach the gospel. And there are some that can preach the gospel better than you or I. But they stop there and they do not understand that the Lord Jesus said, when you go and evangelize, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so they evangelize, but they have left off teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. They know the way of salvation, but they do not know the way of service and the way of worship and following the Lord Jesus, having passed from death unto life. Now, what happens is this. Joshua, since everything was not correct, since two of the 70 were in the camp rather than gathered around the tent, you see, we gather around the name of the Lord Jesus. And so he said, forbid them. And Moses said, no, do not forbid them. And they may have had some reasonable excuse that would have been acceptable, because God did give them the Spirit, and it was in hopes that they would say what was wrong. You'll find this. You should never forsake the assembling of yourselves together You should remember the Lord the first day of every week. And the Passover was to be kept on the 14th day of the first month every year. But you find in Numbers 9 that some who wanted fervently to keep that Passover, but they were unclean, the Lord said, then I will give them a chance the second month. You see, they did not keep the Passover because they were unclean. Perhaps there was something like that concerning the two that were in the camp. They did not come out, but whatever it was, Joshua said, forbid them from prophesying. But Moses was magnanimous and said, would to God that all his people had the full blessing from the Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, forbid them not. And I'm hoping that these two, and that man that was not following the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 9, would turn out to be like Apollos. Apollos was preaching mightily, but the only thing he knew about was John the Baptist. And Aquila and Priscilla listened to him. They said that man is limited in what he knows. And so they, in love and in concern, wanting him to be true to the Savior and wanting to have the fullness of the knowledge of the Son of God, it said they took him to their home and taught him the way of God more perfectly. And then he did not preach about John the Baptist. He preached about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why I'm hoping that those that are in the denominations that can preach the Word of God in a limited way, acceptably, shall someday be like Apollos and shall learn. I've been working for several years with a Baptist minister when I go to Canada. Can you imagine this? Here is a Baptist minister that has studied theology at the seminary. And when I came up, he said, I have heard that you know the Word of God. He said something like this, I would count it an honor if you would come and teach me. Can you imagine such a thing? And yet he did. And I've taught him year after year. And now the Baptist group is getting worried that they might turn into a brethren group. And so, do you see? There may be hope after all. And this is what he said. Can you imagine it? He said, I'm speaking along this line. Could you help me? And so I gave him three areas on which to preach. And the next year I came back, he said, those messages that you told me about were the best I've ever preached in my life. Can you give me three more? I said, no more. So here is one who is willing to learn. Now, if you find those that say, we are right, and cut you off, you wonder. It's simply the goodness of God. Let me tell you this. One man in whose life and the matter I'm thinking about, and I purposely make it cloudy, there was sin. And he said, but if it's sin, why is the blessing of God flowing from it? And I said this. I said, in Numbers chapter 20, the second time that the children of Israel wanted water, what did God tell Moses to do? He said, speak to the rock. I said, what did Moses do? He said, he smote the rock. I said, did abundance of water come out? Yes, because of what he did right or in spite of what he did wrong. And that ended the conversation. You see? He did what was wrong, but still the blessing came. And some would look at the blessing and say, well, it's bound to be right. He must be doing something right or the blessing couldn't come. At times, God gives a blessing if there are imperfections. So, if there is a blessing, understand that it was not for this reason, but in spite of that reason. And that's when the water flowed the second time. And in like manner, these two were not at the tent. They were in the camp, but God blessed them still. And so if you're looking at the denominations and say, well, look, they preach the word. Look at what's happening. Why, success proves that they're doing things right. It does not prove they're doing things right anymore than when Moses smote that rock the second time. Blessing came because of that. So here is Joshua, and he is jealous for the glory of his master. Thank God for that. Because if this is a picture of Christ, and the disciples were jealous for the glory of Christ, and for that reason they said, "Forbid, Lord, forbid." But the Savior said, "No." And another incident should come to your mind, and that is the incident of John the Baptist. At first, before the Savior came upon the scene, John the Baptist had a multitude of disciples. But when the Savior came upon the scene, his closest, dearest friend saw that the disciples of John were leaving him and going to the Lord Jesus. And they came to him and they complained. And they said, "Rabbi, the one that you told us about, why, all your disciples are leaving you and going to him." And John the Baptist then denigrated himself and said, "I told you that I'm nothing, that a man can receive nothing except to be given him of God. He must increase. I must decrease." And that is beautiful. And so here is a man who is not the Lord Jesus. And others would exalt him above the Lord Jesus, or equal with the Lord Jesus. And John the Baptist absolutely forbid it. Now, there are some who would take Peter and make him the head of the Roman Catholic Church. And yet, when Cornelius came and fell at Peter's feet, Peter said, "Stand up." He said, "I'm a man just like you are. I've never seen the Pope of Rome when one comes and falls before him and kisses his ring. I've never heard him say, 'Stand up, I'm a man just as you are.'" You see the difference? And so here are some of the lessons that Joshua has to learn. He is such a fine man, but he's a young man. And I thank God for this. I'm an old man now. And I hear young men preaching, and young men cannot preach the way old men can. If they did, it would be terrible. Why, in a year or two, for a young man to be able to preach the same way that an old man does, why, it would be a crushing blow. But they grow, they develop, and it's the same way with Joshua. It calls him a young man. And so God takes him and he uses him, but he's not perfect all along, but he has Moses to supervise him. That's why it's so good for an old man to be with a young man, because this is the way it used to be. We would have an old man and a young man to speak. And the young man would get up first. You had prepared and prepared, and you say, "This message might last 45 minutes to an hour." And so you would get up and you would start preaching. And 5, 6, 7 minutes went by. And then your message was ended. And so you would get down off the pulpit, and that old brother would get up, correct any mistakes that you had made, and then fill in the rest of the time. And so that's why it's good for a young man to be around an old man. A young man may think that he's able to do things, but he isn't. And he may think he's able to express things perfectly, but he isn't unless God gives him special utterance. So we have to grow. We have to learn. And so let the mistakes we make, let them at least be this way. You see, John's disciples were wrong. They wanted glory to go to John, but it should have gone to the Lord Jesus. But in the case of Joshua, he was right. He wanted glory to go to Moses, because Moses was the highest. But there was a magnanimous spirit of Moses, and he said no. And in like manner, the disciples were right in wanting glory to go to the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus said, "Forbid them not. Perhaps in time they will come and they will learn." So this is a little bit about Joshua, he who is jealous for his master's honor. That's all for now. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for the lessons that you teach us from the Word of God. Let us know that young men would like to be old men, in their wisdom and in their ability. But our Father, you have reserved some things for old men. You have said, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you. I write unto you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you. And I write unto you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. So let us be patient, let us grow in grace, and let us indeed be reverent and respectful as Joshua was to Moses. And in time, Father, you will develop, and you will bless, and you will mature. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.